Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
If you want to join us here, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online. Just head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features you will find there completely free. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. Here tonight, it's Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris. We've been talking about the world of cryptocurrency and its sort of side world of stable coins, which, as you point out, Chris, aren't exactly cryptocurrencies per se, but they do ride atop them. There's these cryptos like...
Interlinked is a good choice of words.
Yeah. Like Ethereum, which is essentially a crypto programming platform where anyone who wants to can just go and create their own crypto token. And in a lot of cases, these have been used for scams, so you have to be very careful in the world of cryptocurrency. But some of them are completely legitimate technologies that people are trying to do something different with, and it's just a way to create something that you can transfer from one crypto wallet to another sort of without having to create your own cryptocurrency, right? So a token is sort of the poor man's crypto, essentially. You don't need to know how to program. You can just go to one of these token creation tools and just, oh, okay, I want to have nobody coin, and then I want to have a 2 billion nobody coin, and then you have 2 billion nobody coin, and then you can send those coins to somebody else. So what Tether has done, which is the world's most popular stable coin, so-called, it's backed supposedly by a dollar, but is it? That's another question.
So we're about to get into.
They made it so they can create these Tether tokens that they can then send out to people, and they can use those for whatever purposes, and it turns out it's the number one trading pair system on these crypto exchanges. So every one of these crypto exchanges, almost all of them support Tether, and almost all of them have Tether as what they call the base pair of the crypto trading pairs. So they'll have different trading options for you. You can trade Bitcoin in Tether, you can trade Dash in Tether, you can trade Monero in Tether, or whatever, right? So like Tether sort of links a lot of these cryptos together.
We've got eggs and spam, eggs, ham, and spam, 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 and more spam.
So, but now it's under attack in Canada, specifically Tether is under attack, apparently, and the Canadian Securities Commission has threatened cryptocurrency exchanges, including Crypto.com, regarding Tether, and Crypto.com has now withdrawn Tether from its platform, or will be later this month.
In Canada.
In Canada.
In Canada. Right. But there may be U.S. coming next, right? Like, who knows? If the Canadian Securities Commission gets away with this, then maybe the U.S. one will be targeting them next.
Well, I think they're actually about to talk about it in the U.S. So let's go a little bit more into the story. In early 2021, Tether and Bitfinex, a cryptocurrency exchange with the same parent company as Tether, were shut down in New York in order to pay $18.5 million for false statements made about Tether's backing, following a 22-month investigation by the state. These companies obscured the true risk investors faced and were operated by unlicensed and unregulated individuals and entities.
Dealing in the quick, somebody panicked.
I know, right? In the darkest corners of the financial system, said New York Attorney General.
Tether's ridiculous
claims.
They were at J.P. Morgan.
Tether's claims that its virtual currency was fully backed by U.S. dollars at all times was a lie.
Hmm.
Which is something that was pointed out at the time, in that it wasn't, and later it did come out that it wasn't, and they changed the wording of it too. So now it's backed, which is probably a good thing that it's not backed by U.S. dollars 1-to-1, but it's rather it's backed by, at least in theory, other assets like, I don't know, you know, like houses or, you know, other investments, I guess, basically.
The term they had used for a time was dollar equivalents.
Yeah, I mean, I think
so. Like treasury bonds and things.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah. It sounded. I feel like it sounded like they were very broad, and I was thinking things like stocks and other things, right?
Maybe.
But, yeah. But you might be right. Maybe.
From what I understand, they won't show an audit, so you still don't know.
Right, and one of the problems though with saying it's backed one to one, though, if it was say a stock, mm-hmm. stocks can also go up and down. So
yeah, that's why I think they used the term dollar equivalents. I don't think they were talking about stocks.
The bonds,
I think they were talking about treasuries.
The bonds would make more sense, I believe, or CDs maybe, or something like that.
Usually, the term they use is dollar denominated, because basically, if you're denominated in dollars, then you will stay stable against the dollar.
Right.
If you're denominated in ounces of gold, then and gold goes down.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you're not fully covering what you're trying to cover.
In response to USDD's delisting from Crypto.com, a spokesperson for Tether told Decrypt that Canada is not a core market for Tether.
Okay, so you were right. Your prediction was that they didn't care enough.
Yeah. The spokesperson added, while this does not mean that we will abandon our interest in ensuring that Tether products can be used beyond any borders, we abide by regulatory guidelines. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like maybe this is more of an issue with Tether than it is even with Crypto.com. So I'm wondering if the other exchanges, I guess, will also be delisting it.
Don't know. I'd say there's a good chance. If Tether isn't willing to jump through the hoops of the Canadian government,
right,
then it becomes a risk to carry them on your platform.
It seems like it would be dependent on Tether in this case, too, because it's the one that appears to be getting regulated, and the other, I don't know, because they both are regulated, I would think. Both Tether,
they're all regulated. Sounds like is that the other stable coins have jumped through the hoops and Tether hasn't.
Right. The spokesperson described...
Is Crypto.com a Canadian company?
Not to my knowledge, but they operate in different countries.
Right.
The spokesperson described Canada as moving more aggressively to regulate crypto compared to most countries, adding a fair open...
This is a spokesperson for Tether?
The spokesperson described, I'm guessing, I think so, which is interesting. This is interesting, the way they're wording it, too. The spokesperson described Canada as moving more aggressively to regulate crypto compared to most countries, adding, this is the funny part, a fair, open, and forward-looking approach to financial access should be encouraged. Oh, okay. Okay, so they added the word encouraged to that. I thought they were calling it fair, open, and forward. Yeah, so that's it for the article. Okay.
That doesn't bode well.
No, it doesn't.
For what's going on in Canada. Of course, they had some real egg on their face after the Canadian truckers situation a year ago.
Ooh.
Just a year ago?
I bet you that's why they're cracking down so hard.
Was that 2 years ago? Was that 2021?
It was a couple years ago, I think, wasn't it?
It's getting real close.
It must have been 2021.
It was the dead of winter.
Yeah, it must have been 2021, because I feel like that went down before the Crypto 6 raids did.
I think so.
So anyway, the truckers made the Canadian government, I think they embarrassed them, because
sure.
The Canadian government tried to crack down on those truck drivers and the money that they were receiving through fiat currencies. And they were able to do that. They were able to scare the Canadian banks into accepting the wire transfers from the donors, which had raised over 10 million Canadian dollars or whatever. They stopped that cold, but they couldn't stop the truckers from getting Bitcoin and Monero donations, and they are pissed. I mean, the Canadian government's pissed about that.
This is one of the dangers of relying on a central bank or government-issued currency. They can shut you off from the system if they don't like you, and they will. Canada has shown they will absolutely do that. Now, Canada isn't the United States, but, let's be honest.
They're worse in a lot of ways.
Yeah, they are, but they're not that different, Canada and the United States. They're both Western countries. Yep. They're both, modern countries. It's very, very similar. Mm-hmm. So if Canada can
Except
do this.
Except for all the dukes.
If Canada can do this to the truckers, even if you don't support the truckers, you should be concerned, because what happens when they come after you?
Great point. Let's go to the phones here. We got Joe on the line in Maryland. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Joe. Joe, Maryland, going once.
Yeah. Hi, honey.
Hey, you're on the air.
Buddy, Mike Chris. Yeah. I just like to talk and say that people ought to be thankful for the show because you guys expound freedom. And that's really important in people's lives. Now, the government says, well, just trust us. But that's what Joseph Goebbels said. And our country is going to crap. And here's one thing that really boggles my mind. They say there's $65 trillion missing.
Who does?
I read it on a news site, and they say in the government there's $65 trillion missing. And that would solve all the country's problems.
Well, no, it wouldn't. I mean, there's no way you can solve all of the problems.
I'm making like a generalization.
Mm-hmm.
It would solve a great deal of you. And then we ought to get.
Well, what it would do is, if they all of a sudden uncovered $65 trillion, is it would increase the money supply dramatically and creates more problems from inflation. I don't know. It's still unclear.
If they found that money and paid the bonds off, then it would eliminate the national debt.
Okay, here's the story I just found from Bloomberg, quote unquote, missing $65 trillion, huge missing and growing in dollar $65 trillion
what
in dollar debt. I'm trying. Oh, they locked the website down here. See, I got
one here. It's always so annoying. Hmm.
I'll see if I can figure it out for you here.
Well, there's, just to give you the meaning of a piece of this, one day they found that the Pentagon had misplaced $2.5 trillion between Iraq and Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
It was before the Iraq War, but they had misplaced $2.5 trillion.
And by misplaced, well, it's never coming back.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we don't know exactly what it means because all of the records were stored in the Pentagon in the accounting section, and the day they discovered this was 9/10 of 2001, and
convenient.
The airplane with the missile engine hit the Pentagon the next day, mm-hmm. right where they stored their accounting records.
How about
so that?
So
that mm-hmm. data is gone.
What a coincidence.
Isn't that convenient?
Oh, you know, there's this thing in, you know, the corporate world. It's called backups. And I'd like to think it's in most people's homes as well. But I'll be honest, I don't know that most people are backing up their data. But you should be.
Mm. Yeah, an off-site backup. As well,
yeah, right? Off-site. Well, yeah, there's redundancy for like servers so that if one drive dies, you don't lose anything.
Right.
And then there's also backups, and then there's also offsite backups, especially in the corporate world.
Institutions, this is according to Pensions and Investments. So, Joe, this is the story you're referring to with the $65 trillion. Pensions, PIonline.com. The site says institutions outside the United States are holding an estimated $65 trillion in quote-unquote missing dollar debt off of their balance sheets through currency derivatives, making it harder for global policymakers to anticipate the next financial crisis. According to a paper from the Bank for International Settlements, this very short-term hidden borrowing forms part of a huge missing and growing debt that the likes of pension funds owe through foreign exchange swaps and other derivative transactions. And that's more financial gobbledygook than I can possibly process. I don't know what any of that actually means. Do you? Do any of you guys know what that means?
I got nothing.
Yeah.
Joe?
Not sure.
Yeah. I can't even fathom $65 trillion. I mean, is a planet worth $65 trillion? I mean, it's really ridiculous.
That's a good question.
I mean, that's a lot of money either way, whether it kind of is or isn't.
And we've got to stop killing each other. I mean, everybody's fighting wars and stuff, and what are they fighting them over for? For real. It's either religion, a piece of property, or some money.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. People's lives are being given up for three stupid reasons.
Thank you, Joe, for the call tonight. I do appreciate hearing from you. A little bit more here, maybe worth sharing. According to Pensions and Investments, they say here that banks headquartered outside of the United States carry $39 trillion of this debt, more than double their on-balance sheet obligations, and 10 times their capital.
Wow.
So that sounds like that's a bad thing, but I don't really know what the ramifications of that are. But if you know more, feel free. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. So we finished the crypto story, I think, Chris.
Yeah.
I had a related one from this is from Coindesk.com. We talked last night about these crypto lending operations. So Gemini had one of them. Gemini is a crypto exchange based here in the United States that was all about regulations. They wanted to, well, oh, yeah, please regulate us. Regulate us harder.
Sounds like Paxos.
Paxos?
Paxos, am I saying that right?
Yeah, they're one of them, too.
Yeah.
But Gemini has been targeted now by the SEC here in the United States for offering a so-called security by offering to pay people on a yearly basis or, you know, an APR or whatever for depositing crypto with them. And then they can then loan it out. Well, there's companies that are like this. Celsius is one of them. They went down in flames in the summer of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And Celsius's big competitor was a company called Nexo, or is a company called Nexo. Nexo has not gone bankrupt at this point. However, they are now being targeted in Bulgaria, according to Coindesk.com, into alleged money laundering and tax violations. According to the story, they're being investigated on suspicion of money laundering, tax offenses, banking without a license, and computer fraud. The Bulgarian prosecutor's office is conducting an investigation in Sofia to, quote, neutralize the criminal activity, unquote, of Nexo, according to an automated translation of a statement issued on Facebook Thursday. More than 300 people are involved in this operation. The attorney general from Bulgaria had this to say. The main organizers of the scheme are Bulgarian citizens, and the activity was carried out mainly from the territory of Bulgaria. He said further, evidence has been collected that a person who used the platform and transferred cryptocurrencies has been officially declared a terrorist financing person, according to the statement. So apparently just because...
So like a taxpayer?
apparently just because Nexo had a customer that is now allegedly a terrorist, apparently that means Nexo's in trouble.
That's crazy. I mean, do you think that the you know, the hijackers on 9/11 weren't using the financial system, you know, traditional banks at that point, right?
Right.
You know, to transfer money abroad and so forth. I mean,
they had
government driver's licenses in the United States.
Well, as we learned,
Give me a break. How is anybody supposed to be responsible for what another person does?
As we learned in the Crypto 6 trial that I, you know, unfortunately got found guilty at, we learned that it doesn't matter what happens to financial fraud victims as long as they go through a bank. So it's okay if old ladies are scammed out of hundreds of thousands of dollars, or an old man is scammed out of $1.2 million, as we saw some of these victims come up from these online scams. It's totally fine if they go to the bank and send a wire transfer to the scam artist. But if they go to a Bitcoin seller, and the Bitcoin seller also gets fooled by these people who are telling lies to them, because they tell lies to the bank tellers to get them to send the wire transfers, and then they tell lies to buy Bitcoin, it's the Bitcoin people who get to go to prison, not the bank tellers. So as long as you have the government permission slip, it's totally fine. They don't care about what happens to these victims. In a thread on Twitter, Nexo said it's cooperating with relevant authorities and regulators. It says it has stringent anti-money laundering and know-your-customer policies and implied that it was being targeted unfairly. Nexo's spokesperson said in an email to Coindesk, quote, these are authorities at one of Nexo's offices in Bulgaria, which is, as you know, the most corrupt country in the EU. Well, what do you have offices there for? Not that there's any safe place to be as a crypto company.
Yeah, also, if they're Bulgarian nationals, they might... I don't know what economic regulation is like in there, but they might not be able to invest outside their country.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is about some of these, you know, some of these situations is, like, you can't tell. There are obviously, you know, some like really, how do I say this, corrupt or dishonest figures out there, people out there doing some really bad stuff, right? But there's also people out there that are being targeted by the government who are doing nothing wrong. And yet they're using the same, you know, claims, false claims against those individuals. So there's, if they want to come after you, there's nothing you can do. You can't, there's no amount of compliance you can do, you know, and be, you know, so-called safe from their false claims. Just because
the way to be safe is to donate to the Democrats and Republicans.
Right? I'm sure that helps, but yeah, no, I mean, if 90% of the people, you know, if 90% of people out there, are, let's just say, or an industry, right, are criminals, that doesn't mean that every single other, you know, participant in that industry is a criminal.
Mm-hmm. But and that's not even true in the case
it's
of cryptocurrency.
It's
more like 1%.
Right. It's not. But if the media is able to sell that story, mm-hmm. and then you have a jury, right, what does the jury think? The jury just goes to assume, yeah, everybody involved must be some sort of criminal.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much evidence you have. That it doesn't matter even if the prosecutor's own evidence disproves their story, guilty.
Mm. According to Nexo, they said they are making AML and tax-related inquiries. AML stands for anti-money laundering, by the way. And tax-related inquiries about a Bulgarian entity of the group that is not customer-facing, but only has back-office functions, payroll, customer support, compliance. We are one of the most stringent entities with regards to KYC AML. Following the news of the investigation, according to CoinDesk, more than $3 million worth of crypto left the company's platform. That's the customers saying, okay, it's time to withdraw. These guys are under attack. The lender's native coin sank around 7% to as low as 70 cents. At the time of writing, was priced at just under 73 cents. Now, this story didn't have what I thought it did, and there's other stories about this, but they got raided. Like, this is a serious, like, attack against this crypto company. They had their offices.
They must not have been paying off the Democrats and Republicans as well as FTX was.
Or whatever the equivalent is in
Bulgaria.
They're
local. Yeah. They're probably better off paying off their local thugs, politicians, because, I don't know.
But you have to wonder, what is the safest political jurisdiction for crypto corporations? I mean, it seems like it's very hard to find, right? Like all of these
probably El Salvador, because they've made it legal tender, so they're all in.
That's a good point. And they don't have a central bank.
Yeah.
So if you're a crypto company and you're looking to migrate, and if I were a crypto company that's developing new concepts, new ideas, whatever, I would be looking to get the hell out of Europe and the United States and any other place that has a central bank.
You might be right, Ian, about this, finding a country without a central bank. But you know what? There might be a danger there, too, in that the local thugs may want a piece of the action, and depending on what percentage they want, and that they don't change their terms, could be a problem,
too. Thugs are going to want a piece of the action.
Yeah,
they always do.
The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. 160. You can bring up anything that is on your mind and join us here on Free Talk Live.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You USA News Update. A resident of Selma, Alabama, recalling the surreal moments of surviving a direct hit from a deadly tornado. Amber Johnson had taken cover with her baby in a bathtub inside their home.
I guess we were thrown out of it, and that's really a blessing because I don't know if we would have been able to stand up in that.
At least nine are dead in the wake of the severe weather outbreak across the South. The White House says raising the federal debt ceiling should not be a political football.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre called on lawmakers on both sides of the aisle to work together to raise the debt ceiling without conditions.
This is not political gamesmanship, and this should be done without conditions.
Her remarks came as Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said the U.S. is projected to reach its roughly $31.4 trillion borrowing limit in less than a week. I'm Dave Collins.
I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. We got time for you at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can also check out our TikTok channel over at tiktok.freetalklive.com. Aria and Bonnie have been working on putting some stuff up. There's not all the time. It's a lot of work to cut out stuff from the show. If you guys want to subscribe, though, feel free. While the channel still exists, they'll probably ban it at some point. But go to tiktok.freetalklive.com. It's Ian, Nobody, and Chris here in the studio tonight. And we're going to go straight to your calls and thoughts. Sarah is on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
So it was on the news that the Westside Homeless Shelter is being inspected by the Inspector General. I don't know who that is, but they're finding a fire code violation. They have mice, lice, and broken showers. And they
Lovely.
Say that non-ADA compliant. But, you know, I've called into the show.
Just to clarify, hold on. Before you go on, Sarah, is this a government-run homeless shelter?
I think so. Hitting Home, they're the agency, but I have a feeling it's government-run. It's
okay.
Definitely not private funding. No, it's run. The money is it's government run, and then
yep, it sure is. I just looked it up here. The Westside Emergency Housing Center has a .gov website. So it is definitely a government operation. What's your takeaway from this, Sarah?
My takeaway is that I'm kind of perplexed. That why did it take like how long, like years and years, 7 to 8 years before they finally had somebody go down there and inspect it? Because I was calling in about the all kinds of, I mean, I can't.
Well, the reason is because government criminals don't care if other government criminals break the law. That's just to make that clear. But go ahead with your next thing.
Well, plus, even if there are people within the government that, you know, do care, they're not incentivized in the same way as regular people or charities are, for instance. So they don't have the same sense of urgency. It's like, well, we'll get to it when we get to it. Oh, yeah, it's only been 5 years. Oh, we'll check it later. I mean, they just don't, they don't have any kind of incentive. They're not worried about getting donations, right? Like your typical charity has to be responsible for its donors' money. If it's not responsible, if it just pisses it away or whatever on stupid crap, then the donors can come in there and say, well, looks like you're not actually spending the money in the way we said you should spend the money, so you're not getting it this year. And then that agency is just going to go away because they can't get the support that they need. Whereas the government, whether it be federal or state or Albuquerque city government, they get paid anyway. It doesn't matter because they will steal your home from you if you don't pay the property taxes.
Yeah, there's something a lot of people probably don't know about the charities, but there's actually independent, like some sort of independent rating, like where their financials get rated, right? Like how well or how efficiently is a nonprofit doing?
Mm-hmm.
And
we only rate nonprofits.
Well, but the point that I'm making is that you actually do have an ability to put your money to better use by selecting a nonprofit, some sort of nonprofit.
That's why I donate to the local homeless shelter that's run privately here in Keene. Mm-hmm. Because they do good work, and if I decide they're not doing good work, I can pull my funding from them. But you don't get that option with Westside Emergency Housing Center. If they've got a bunch of rats running around and the bathrooms aren't working right and the lights aren't on, I mean, then it doesn't matter because you're still forced to pay for it. And your only option to complain is to just go down and say something to the city council and hope that they, you know, crack a whip over these people. But it's been how many years? 7 or 8 years, you said?
I don't know when it got open. It was supposed to be temporary, but, you know,
of course it was.
That's why we have the...
There's nothing more permanent than a temporary government program.
But the thing is that the homeless people don't want to stay there because it's so horrible.
Yeah. I mean,
they've been getting a lot of complaints, but they all ignore them because they're a bunch of homeless people. They're, like you said, they're staying there for free. They don't pay any money.
What's their budget?
They like dirt.
What is the budget of this Westside Emergency Housing Center? How much money from taxpayers are they getting every single year?
I have no idea. I think just to bus them back and forth with 5-6 buses just to get them out there alone costs like $1 million a year. So I was I don't know.
I bet you it's millions of dollars at least that they're pouring into this.
How many beds do they have?
But I'm surprised that this has been going on for so long, and then we don't have a really strong homeless coalition. Mm-hmm. This is Albuquerque. I mean, this is what you expect out of New Mexico. I mean, I'm not really amazed. But I mean, the thing is, this is the worst homeless shelter in the history of New Mexico, Albuquerque. And the thing about it is that I wish the Salvation Army would still have the homeless shelter like they used to have here. So all they have now in Salvation Army is the when you come out of jail and then they just have a home for the men.
Halfway house.
I was told that they're doing it just because they get money for each head finishing that program. I don't know how true that is. They get funding for it.
Well, the Salvation Army does a lot of private fundraising. Now, there's a lot of charities that if they get the chance to take government money, they will, because they don't, you know, they're not principled or anything like that. And if the money's there, I can't blame them for taking it. They're just going to spend it on something. So you might as well, as long as the strings aren't too terrible, then I don't blame right. somebody for taking it. According to an article from KOB out in Albuquerque, it looks like the West Side got $587,000 out of a recent funding round, but it's not clear for how long that lasts. I'm not sure if that's, you know, part of the year or what. It's but that so yeah, they're getting plenty of money over there for this particular operation, and you know, they can't even keep the rats out. They can't keep the lights on. It's pretty embarrassing, but that's government for you, Sarah. This is what you want to these people to run healthcare?
Well, the thing is that they are going to build that Gateway Center, so they're going to have a better homeless shelter.
Why?
24 hours.
Why would you? This one's 24 hours. Why would you think that it's going to be better?
Well, I mean, they have to, because
why?
So many people are paying attention. Look at all the people that are getting thrown out on the street because of the rent. They cannot afford to live here. So then the mainstream people are being forced to be homeless. It's not like the degenerates of drug addicts and alcoholics. So then they have to provide a better homeless shelter.
No, what's going to happen is they're going to, if it's a brand new shelter, has it even been built yet?
It has been built. I don't know how far it's going to be open.
But is it new? Was it built brand new? Is it like brand new, freshly built?
No, it was a former hospital.
Okay.
That's closed
of course, down. Yeah. I was going to say, if it was brand new, then you'll have the it'll have a look to it, right? Like it would be new, and people would know it's new. And, ooh, here's our new homeless shelter. Everything looks great. And then it's going to deteriorate, mm-hmm. and it's going to not be taken care of. And, you know, you find out what's wrong with the building. And I thank you for the call,
like
Sarah.
Like a Chinese rental.
I don't know if that's insulting to Chinese people, but what do you mean?
Well, the Chinese government is really at fault for this. But they've been building a lot of buildings in China.
Oh, with the lowest quality
stuff.
That are
just collapsing.
Yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah, you know
it's really scary.
Yeah,
sometimes.
You know, the thing that seems to be the biggest problem, you know, just in general with poverty is in government in general, is the lack of like planning, like financial planning, like basic financial planning skills.
They don't have to.
Yeah, I mean certainly the government doesn't. But the like individuals who are in poverty, it's like, okay, you have a job and you're still doing poorly and you're not making any progress in like advancing, and it's like, well, why is that? And then you start looking at things,
drug addiction.
Drug addiction, but like I'm even thinking of like other things, like and some of these things are like, okay, you can't undo what you did, like if you had three kids or whatever, right? But there's other things, certainly, and certainly if you do the financial planning ahead of time, maybe you can help.
Unfortunately, they don't have ex post facto abortion.
but there's certainly other things, right? Like, do you really need to smoke three packs of cigarettes a day, as an example, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you can cut back to two packs and then have a save up that money, and then all of a sudden you kind of move up in the world. But people just don't have, like, they don't teach these skills in school.
They sure don't.
You know?
Well, then again, how much better would it be if the government was teaching money management skills?
Terrible.
They don't have
I'm sure
any.
It would be, but you know, it's actually funny because I actually did have a class where that was kind of the idea. Like I won't say it was a class for stupid people, but it wasn't. It was like I had to fill in a class in my schedule in order to like finish graduating.
Home economics?
Nah, it was like some sort of class that was like taught very basic skills, like how to use a checkbook, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my god, talk about like the stupid stuff. Like there wasn't really any kind of financial planning in there. Like, you know, it was just, but that was like what it should have been, right?
Well, they don't want you to be financially secure. They don't want you to be financially aware. They don't want you to have any financial intelligence because they want you to rely on them.
Yeah, I mean, this. Let me just give you an example of how stupid this course was, right? They had us reading terms of service agreements, privacy policies on websites on the internet.
Why?
I still don't know, because I think the idea was to protect your privacy, right? Like it wasn't like how to use tools to protect your privacy, mm-hmm. like maybe Tor or, you know, I don't know, like cookie blocking or something. No, it was to read the privacy policy of websites.
Let's go to the phones here. David is in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Oh, man. I've only heard about 45 minutes of today's program, and there's like a dozen different things that I don't think that are being understood that I'd like to comment on. But let me.
All right, well, pick one or two.
Yeah, I know, Ian. I know your routine. So I was just interrupting you when I was saying, so let me cut it down to two, which are related, actually. And it goes all the way back to the beginning of your program, and you were talking about how courts are like church. Let me tell you a couple things that I do. And get good reception to it and bad reception, and both are worthwhile. So a judge named Sandra Engel here in New Mexico, she once threatened me to. Well, let me give her your exact quote. I said something to her in open court that needed her attention in her courtroom, meaning a dude was stalking me in the courtroom, and so I tried to bring it to her attention. And she basically told me to shut up, and then the exact quote is, as I was walking out the door after I told her, okay, I'll handle it myself, and I went down and got security and took care of the situation because the judge was such a dork, Sandra Engel, that she couldn't handle it. But she said to me, she said to the courtroom as I was walking out the door with my back to her, but I heard it, do you know what happened to the last person who did that? You know, and so anyway, I went down, got security, handled the situation, and Sandra Engel is a dork. Now, the direct contrast to that, and the whole point of these two excerpts, for lack of the word that I'm looking for, is what the F can the average person do to? Oh, let me interject. The government that we have, as we know it, has got to go. Government employees, did you hear that? You've got to go unless you change your tune. So now. Direct contrast to Sandra Engel, and the last time I tried to share this on Free Talk Live, Ian was not sitting in that day, neither was Chris, neither was nobody, a different crew.
Okay.
They weren't happy with me giving praise to a judge, but let me try it again. So in direct contrast, different experience with Victor Valdez in the Metropolitan Court. Oh, and by the way, I've done the same thing in federal court. A good
what about Victor Valdez, though? Can you finish the thought?
Okay, so what COVID brought on the telephonic appearances, the Skype, the whatever,
right?
And that made it easier to do this. But you can also do the exact same thing if you show up in court. It just makes it easier if it's electronic. And so I was sitting in Victor Valdez's courtroom, and I haven't done this in a while, but I would just drop in. Victor Valdez's courtroom, and I would sit in. And then I would notice things as a citizen that the judge wasn't necessarily noticing or aware of, and that other people in the courtroom that could say something were not speaking up. And so I would say, judge. And the judge would respond to me, yes, who is that speaking? And I would identify myself. And then I would say, a friend of the court information that you might find helpful, if I may. And then he would grant me permission. And I would share what I noticed, which was always on point because I'm just that way. And he was appreciative of what I had to offer because it made his job easier and made things better for everybody involved, himself and everybody else in the courtroom, who no matter who they were. And that's in direct contrast to the first example of Judge Sandra Engel. And the point is that individual citizens can and should interject even in the two examples. You know, remember, in one example, the judge threatened to throw me in jail. In the second example, different court, the Metropolitan versus District, but the judge was appreciative of my input.
In most cases, they're going to not be appreciative, at least in the cases I've seen. F-em. Usually they don't want to get interrupted F-em. Or
we
whatever.
Don't care. F-em. We don't care. Stand up anyway. Stand up. The whole reason we're in the situation.
Yeah, as long as you're willing to risk, as long as you're willing to risk a contempt charge, then go for it.
I feel like this is certain things that have happened here in Keene, in New Hampshire in general over the years, and it doesn't usually go well.
It usually doesn't. Thank you for the call, David. Let's continue here. Is this Saheed?
Yeah.
You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, what's on your mind?
All right.
So what's on my mind? I had a question for you guys, just a quick one. I was thinking just earlier today, I was working on a little crypto project, and I was thinking, I heard that you guys are not able to use crypto right now because of bail conditions.
It's only me. I think nobody is free to use crypto, if I recall correctly, on your probation.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Okay, got you. So my question was, can you, I assume that you can't issue, like, tokens or NFTs or anything like that, can't touch those? Right.
I'm not allowed to do anything in regards to purchasing, holding, exchanging, doing anything with cryptocurrency. Nobody, however, could create his own token or something.
I'm just thinking, is NFTs cryptocurrency?
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Got you. And so, that was because technically it's not like 100% proof of work kind of stuff. It's somebody just issuing kind of like signed messages. And so one step behind or like a little bit more primitive to NFTs is like just signing messages, kind of like saying Oracle type of thing. Can you do that?
No, anything that requires any kind of interaction with cryptocurrency-related software or cryptocurrency wallet. No, I mean, I could do PGP if that's what you're...
It could probably.
Signing things, being an Oracle is just literally just signing with crypto keys.
Anything that has to do with a cryptocurrency key, I wouldn't be able to do.
Does it say, like, virtual currency?
Not cryptocurrency keys, just literally just like a public key. You know, public key, private key kind of thing. Since that's what cryptocurrency is kind of like built off of, but it's a little bit more primitive than that. It's just like that's how PGP, HTTPS works and everything. So, oracles are kind of like separate from the blockchain, you know? And so that was kind of like my question because, it can facilitate some stuff, but it's not exactly crypto itself, you know? And so I was just curious about that kind of like, line of thinking.
Yeah, I mean, generally, I wouldn't want to do anything that could possibly be pushing the line, so to speak. Judges don't tend to appreciate that very much.
Start using stable coins, but not cryptocurrencies.
In my experience, I don't think they want to play those games. But Saheed, since you called in tonight, I know you've called before, and I think you've mentioned you are Muslim, correct?
Yeah.
We had a conversation earlier tonight, and I'm glad that you're here because I want to go back to that maybe you can weigh in on this. I was trying to address what nobody had said in regards to, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, nobody, so correct me if I misstate this. You were concerned that you believe that Muhammad was advocating people or his followers go and kill non-believers back in the day. Is that correct, nobody?
Yeah, that basically during Muhammad's lifetime, Islam was being spread by the sword.
And as I understood the story, and please correct me on what your understanding is, that he is an actual adherent to Islam, that Muhammad and his followers were the ones who were being pursued and killed, and they had to defend themselves, and that they were not going around and just forcibly converting people who didn't agree with them. What's your understanding of it?
Good question. So the time period of the early Islam is kind of like, I'm not an expert at it, but there's basically two different time periods. There's the time of like the prophet's lifetime, and then there's like shortly right afterwards.
We're talking about his lifetime.
Exactly. So in his lifetime, it was mostly kind of domestic within Saudi Arabia area. And then it was after his lifetime, shortly after that, it spread to Persia, to the middle, Israel, Jerusalem, Byzantium, and whatnot. And so during his own lifetime, it was all persecution and defense for the most part. But then afterwards, it can get a little murky after that.
Okay. That was not how I understood it, so thanks for clarifying.
Well, there's a lot of propaganda out there, right? There's a lot of people that have an axe to grind against Islam that don't really tell you the whole truth about it. And so what you're saying is, Saheed, is after Muhammad died, then the people that sort of inherited that seat, I forget what the term is, was it Abu Bakr or something like that that came after him?
Yeah, exactly. It was basically the old power structure for the most part. And they used the same kind of reasoning And actually, that's actually a big. It's not even just the people who have axed crime. It's actually a lot of quote unquote supporters who just don't have really the same types of principles, you know,
right.
Which can get pretty lost pretty quickly.
Yeah, and one of the principles he had, and you can correct me on this one as well, was that if you know, if you're being attacked, you obviously have a right to defend yourself. This is what Muhammad taught, from my understanding. You have a right to defend yourself, but if the attacker turns and runs, you are not allowed to, under his rules at least, to pursue that attacker and continue to cause harm.
I am not 100% because the text we're talking about is when you're talking about like war, where it's like persecution and killing. It's not exactly forgivable, like in that kind of sense. It's like an eye for an eye type of, and yeah, the victim can go ahead and forgive if they'd like to, but they can't exceed it. What they feel, what was done to them, type mm-hmm. of thing. And so there's like the Quran kind of like explains all this in detail. A lot of people like to go ahead and pick one verse or another, but in its complete form is pretty. You know, it actually reminds me quite a lot. Not reminds me. I mean, that's why I'm an Arab for the most part. Because it doesn't, it talks about all these rules, but it doesn't mention anything about government at all, you know. In fact, governments are usually the ones that are the tyrants on the wrong side of that. But I do want to mention one thing. It's like there are certain people who are, you know, not allied, but are associated with, like, a power structure or a tyrant, and who don't want to fight you, but also don't want to go ahead and fight a tyrant, you know, or their families. And you know, the people who are actually working with the you know, the however you want to call it, the, you know, the tyranny. You're supposed to go ahead, it mentions in the Quran before, like literally like a couple of verses before the one that's repeated so often, like find them and kill them wherever you find them type of thing. A couple of verses right beforehand, it talks about how those people who don't lift a hand towards you, but who are not trying to fight you, but they're kind of like with the tyrant system, then those people are like off limits, you know, give them safe harbor. We're supposed to actually literally give them safe, a safe place to kind of like, you know, sanctuary so that they don't have to do either.
Would you say that the,
and I think a lot of people fall in that kind of like category, to be honest.
Would you say that the people that are Muslims that are seeking power, that are running the governments, of the world that are Muslim are not following the Prophet's guidance?
Of course. Of course not. I doubt even, I wouldn't even call them a lot of, I mean, it's between them and God whether or not they're a Muslim or not. But the Quran actually has a distinction between a Muslim and there's another word called Mu'min. One is a believer and one is a Muslim. For people like my husband. And so there's a distinction there, and not even a lot of Muslims go and explain that to
Sahih, we are out of time tonight. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for the clarification from your perspective on this. I definitely appreciate hearing from you. And we will be back tomorrow. You can join us online in the meantime over at freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.